Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the Om Times Radio Network.
Welcome. You are listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. I have a great guest for you today. We are talking with healer and teacher and owner of the Inner Light Mystery School, Brennan Murphy, and we are going to talk about the nature of the unseen world. So we've been having a pretty far out there July. Last week, of course, we had Lisa Martin Namey on, and so it has just been a lot of fun. Next week, we have Marie D. Jones, and we're going to be bringing it down a little bit, getting a little bit more into maybe some of the lower vibrations. We're going to be talking about her latest book, Mind Wars, and we're going to be talking about mind control and all of that kind of crazy stuff that has gone on in the past and the way it's kind of shifting in the future with our new technology. But if you are familiar with Marie D. Jones, you know she's just a delightful, amazing woman. And then we'll be rounding out the month here with Heather Ash Amara, who is an amazing lady as well. I've had the opportunity to take a few of her workshops and speak with her before, and she wrote the book Warrior Goddess Training. And then coming up in August, we have Dr. Eric Pearl. We have the author of The Gene Keys, Richard Anton. We have so many great guests coming up. And you can hear this show again live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on the Om Times Radio Network. As always, I'm still continuing my contest. If you are on Twitter and you hashtag Entanglement Radio, or if you are not a tweeter, you can join me on my Facebook page at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio and just say, hey, I'm a listener. I love your show. And I will be putting all those names into a hat. And at the first of every month, I will be giving announcing me a winner, and you will receive a free intuitive reading with myself. So totally just go out there and do it. Hashtag Entanglement Radio. And if you need to get a hold of me at any time during the week, I'd love feedback. I'd like if you have show ideas, if you just want to say, hey, that's really cool. And I got to say, honestly, having people do that, I have developed some really amazing friendships out of that and felt very connected to my audience. And that's what it's all about in this virtual world, is finding ways to still connect. So you can find me at angela@hestiahealth.com, and you can find more about myself and my services at Hestia Health. So with that, today, like I said, we are talking about the true nature of the unseen world. Last week, I watched this movie again with my son. It's called The Spiderwick Chronicles. And I totally enjoy it when I can watch a kid movie that doesn't have, that isn't about talking dogs. I'll just leave it at that. So, and anyway, in this movie, they have these special glasses that they can put over their eyes so they can actually see what's going on in this unseen world. And it's a world of fairies and goblins and all sorts of cool stuff. And it's amazing the more that I learn about the mind and just realize how our mind decides to create what we see based on what we think is possible and some of the neuroscience behind that. And I just wonder, is there really a world of fairies and goblins and magic and all this cool stuff that we are just not privy to because we just can't allow ourselves to see it? So I'm not sure where this conversation is going to go today, but I know that I'm quite excited to have it. So let me introduce my guest. Brennan Murphy is the owner of a spiritual healing and teaching practice and the Inner Light Mystery School. His mission is helping hearts liberate themselves from the bonds of fear and assisting in the conscious evolution of all humanity. He currently lives in Taos, New Mexico, and enjoys living life to the fullest while bringing radiant, loving righteousness to the world. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Brennan Murphy to the program. Hello, Brennan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful, better than ever.
Do you have any children that you're subject to watching talking dog movies?
Subject to watching talking dogma?
Talking dog movies.
Oh, the talking dog movies. Oh, sorry. not really. No, My fiance Melissa, she has a 14-year-old son, Marin, and I actually just taught him his first magical ritual last night, and so he's a very sort of level-headed kid, and is still not quite sure if he believes in any of this magical stuff. He thinks it's kind of all fairy tales, and but he was open to giving something a try last night. So I, yeah, we'll see how it goes with him.
Well, I think. Well, first, you dodged a bullet. I think he's past the talking dog movie phase. But I gotta say,
yeah, probably.
Oh man, this is what we have to watch. But anyway, we'll move on from that. But going back to what you were just saying about introducing ritual and maybe him not understanding, or at least he's still interested, because you know, at 14, you think about you know, even though you know. Relatively 14 is pretty young, but you think about all of the socialization and enculturation that's happened, and all of this stuff that we're going to be talking about today has not been, it's been either vilified, it's laughed at, it's not something that's cultivated or discussed out openly. And so I can appreciate his hesitation, but at the same time, I feel excited that he was open enough to having that experience with you.
Oh, yeah. No, it was really kind of an interesting turning point in our relationship.
Well, I want to, yeah. I actually want to, sorry to interrupt you there, but I want to, you have such an interesting background. And if people have been looking and anticipating the show, they might have read it on the website here for the show promo. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to share with us from your mouth, because it's a childhood like I haven't seen before. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to talk about that. I'm one of these people. It seems like maybe there's not that many of them. It's finding others like me has been a little tricky. But basically, you know, since I was from a pretty young age, I had a connection to the magical world. And my mom asked me when I was around the age of 3, I don't remember this, but she tells the story to other people that she asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I told her very earnestly, she says I was about 3 years old, that I wanted to be a druid. And anyway, I do recall sort of visions of being in a wooded landscape and, you know, in robes and such when I was younger, and I still have these memories, and you know, whether they're from a past life or just somehow connected in some unknown way through the, you know, Akashic records or the photon field, which I'll talk about more later in relation to the unseen world. But basically, I had some knowledge of this when I was younger, and that knowledge really, you know, my mother really thought it was interesting. And so even though the rest of the world kind of didn't acknowledge any of this, and I got fairly shut down for a while, I did meet a man, a Swami, when I was about 11 years old. His name was Swami Shaman. He's still alive. He runs the International Meditation Institute in Kulu, India, and he was visiting the States in Vermont. And so I went with my mom to Vermont to see him lecture, and I asked him some questions on stage in front of the, you know, congregation of maybe 300 or 400 people. You know, I had trouble with, like, you know, kids giving me a hard time at school. You know, I was getting kind of bullied a little bit, and I asked him, what should I do? You know, how do I deal with this difficult situation? And he said, roar like a lion. And so it was not the response I was expecting from, you know, 60-year-old Indian guru with a white beard. I sort of thought that, you know, he was going to give me some advice about being peaceful and nonviolent or something. But instead, he just said to roar like a lion. And, you know, that was very interesting advice. And I didn't quite understand what he meant, because I think he was speaking a little bit more metaphorically. I did try roaring like a lion, and I got a little bit laughed at. but it did give people pause. You know, I guess it might have it might have made them realize that I wasn't just, you know, a weakling or whatever. So anyway, so the story then goes, I went to India when I was 13. My mom took me there and I stayed there at his ashram for a couple of months. And I got really tapped into something. I found myself in a more peaceful state that sustained itself longer than any other time. And I'd had a few of these experiences on and off, going into these unusual states of mind where I just wasn't worried about anything and was just totally at peace. And so, you know, I went back a total of 5 times to his ashram between the ages of 13 and 21. And then I learned meditation. I learned yoga. I learned some chanting stuff. I learned pranayama. And, you know, he's a prolific author. He's got, you know, 20 or 30 books. So I read a bunch of his books. And, you know, it was a really enlightening experience. But the problem I was having was I'd come back to the States. You know, I'd come back to the U.S. and, you know, be blissed out for a couple months, but then find myself getting sucked into drama, frustration, you know, difficult, negative emotions, and just not being very socially accepted as, you know, the kind of kid that instead of playing on the playground, I'd be meditating or something on the break. And then have kids like pulling my hair and trying to poke, you know, their finger in my ear and, you know, try to sneak up behind me and, you know, dump a bucket of water on my head. I mean, you know, so anyway, I was fairly serious about this from a young age. And so I didn't really see the humor in that. Didn't develop much of a sense of humor till later in life. And so that was the first sort of part, the first part of my spiritual journey. The second part,
you can hear that
we'll
talk
about.
Yeah, exactly. We're off on our break, sure. And we'll talk about the second part, and then we'll dive into our conversation about the nature of the unseen world. You're listening to Entanglement
Perfect.
Radio with Angela Levesque, and we'll be right back after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Om Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we're back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. My guest again today, if you're just joining us, is Brennan Murphy, and he is the owner and healer and teacher of Interlight Mystery School. And so before the break, he was sharing with us his unique background and upbringing, and I had made a comment about how there's so much socialization and enculturation, and it sounds like, Brennan, that you had a really interesting, that you didn't have that. So, which is awesome. And so now you kind of talked about the first aspect. I'd like you to tell us, about this, the next phase.
Yes. So basically, what I came to understand was, that even though a lot of what I had learned in my, I spent, a total of about a year of my life in India up to the age of 21. And it was like, the meditation, the yoga, all that stuff, it would put me in a state of inner peace. But when I had to deal with the Western world, it was like I felt like I didn't have the right tools to be victorious with that, for whatever reason, and just kept being frustrated with it. So kind of, I went to college. I had a very classical education, unusual education, at a place called St. John's College here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, not far from where I live now. And that was, a very Western-based education, but, based on dialogue. The classes were not a lecture format. You would, sit down and talk with other people, read the original texts of, Plato, Socrates, et cetera, and have these group conversations. So I kind of got to look into the Western world a lot. And of course, it's very mind-based, it seems, our culture. And, there's a sort of aggression that seems to exist in the Western imperial culture. A lot of people look at the U.S. as sort of the modern day version of the Greek or the Roman Empire. And I'd say that kind of is true in terms of its just general energy. So I started realizing that the culture that I was living in was so different than the culture of India, that maybe I needed something different in order for my spiritual practice to, be able to give me what I needed, to deal with the culture that I was in. So I didn't find it until I was about, 25, 26, maybe 27. It was about 2007 that this happened. And I was sort of had a mystical experience even around this. A friend of mine, David, who is actually, I'm coming here today. I haven't seen him in years. He gave me a tarot reading, and in the middle of this card was the Ace of Discs. And the question I had asked him, because this is the first tarot reading I'd ever gotten in my life, I'd been sort of mistrustful of the Western, mystery tradition, the occult, and such. And I asked, what's the most important thing for me to look at next on my spiritual path? And so this card, the Ace of Discs, it was the Crowley deck, the Thoth deck. And if anyone's familiar with that deck, they know it's sort of this picture of four sort of winged figures around this disc in the middle. And, it's on the disc, there's some Greek writing and sort of these funny numbers, the one over the 666. And so I was looking at this thing and wondering what was going on. And, David didn't really know what it meant. as best that he knew, the card represented initiation. And I didn't know what that was either. So I was looking that up, but I did know how to read ancient Greek because of my classical education. And so I, got out my ancient Greek lexicon and started looking up these words, to Megatherion was what it said. And of course, this is Aleister Crowley's deck, so he's a little sneaky, and it meant the great beast. And so this was, of course, a little scary. I was like, what is going on here with this? And it freaked me out a little bit, but eventually I started seeing the humor in it. I came to kind of understand a few things that I didn't before, that, left to their own devices for whatever reason in this day and age, human beings They're a little beast-like, you know. They kind of there's this sort of tendency towards conflict and disagreement. You know, it's sort of identified as the ego, but that somehow initiation had to do with reversing this. Thus, the one over the 666. Of course, the you know we all know that number as the mark of the beast in the you know I guess in the Book of Revelation or whatever. And it sort of is, I think, just a signifier for ego, the egoic consciousness and that what that does to us, versus, you know, a more unified consciousness where we begin to see that we're more than just a body and we don't have to be so selfish and self-directed. We can start looking at what's good for both us and others and act from that place. So anyway, I was looking for initiation into some kind of a mystery school because I had then, after I got this reading, started talking to another friend of mine, Arun, who lived in Portland. And he, you know, I asked him about all this and he said, oh yeah, there are some mystery schools out there, but you know, you'll just have to find one. I'm not going to teach you. And I don't know if you really want to study with the Ordo Templi Orientis, which is, you know, what he had learned his stuff from. He was recommending that I, you know, just go out there and try to find something. So anyway, the journey essentially led to, going to Seattle at one point and with my partner at the time, and we're at the Seattle Public Library and looking around on the social media networks for things to do. We just kind of went out there on a whim and we saw that night there was a temple opening by this group called the Rocky Mountain Mystery School. So anyway, we went out there and I noticed when I got there that there were some people who I had seen and heard about who were involved with this these gatherings called the Oracle gatherings. At that time I was really involved in the world of electronic music, and these Oracle gatherings people had gotten famous for sort of integrating these big ritual prayer performance things that they were doing in the midst of these, you know, big electronic music dance parties. So I'd heard all about this and wanted to meet these people anyway, but they were really tied in with this mystery school. And so one thing led to another, and I met a woman, Teresa Bullard, and she was sort of fairly high up in this organization, and I started talking to her about initiation. One thing led to another, and then I eventually went and got initiated into this Western mystery tradition. You know, they call it the Brotherhood and Sisterhood of Light. It's actually something that, you know, encompasses a lot of the different mystery schools. It's sort of a much larger group of people that, you know, encompasses, you know, many different lines of initiation. So, but I went through that, and I had the most profound spiritual experience of my life. I was crying for hours, releasing just so much, and I just couldn't really explain it, you know. In the initiation, we really got into ritual, which is not something I really learned in India. I learned a lot about meditation. I learned about yoga, but ritual was sort of unknown to me, and so was, you know, initiation practices. And this is all Western magic, you know, that sort of descended from the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which was a very kind of sort of responsible for the whole occult revival back in around the turn of last century, around 1900. And Gudni Gudnason, who had founded this Rocky Mountain Mystery School, he had spent, you know, about, from what I understand, around 20 years time studying with them. So he knew all about it and had wanted to, you know, bring this this knowledge to the world. So I studied with them for a couple of years and had some really far out experiences, and eventually was directed by my higher self, guides and guardians, to step away and found my own school. And so I did. And that was back in 2008, I believe, 2009. It was around the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. Shortly thereafter, I had my first initiation and retreat. And since then, it's been going pretty strong. I've gone a little bit back and forth. I haven't been at it full time, but I've got about 36 or so students, people who I've brought through the initiation process, some of which have come to be full-time healers, and some of which now are starting to become teachers as well. And so it's a really exciting thing. It's really changed my entire life and the whole way that I see the world, and put me in touch with a lot of things I didn't know existed. So,
well, that's kind of where I want to take the conversation to next. Well, first of all, mm-hmm. because I think that there is, because I didn't even really know. I mean, I had a vague idea, but I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there. What exactly is a mystery school?
Well, so a mystery school is basically, you know, they've been around a long time. It's not a new concept. The mystery school is a place where you can go to learn these things they call the mysteries. In my case, you know, they're the Western mysteries. And, you know, they're basically a set of ritual practices that that cause effects that are hard to explain. They're just difficult for the rational mind to wrap itself around as to why they would work. And although I have made a lot of progress lately in understanding what's really going on when these things are being used. So they're called the mysteries because they're just mysterious. They're difficult to understand or explain why they would work. They're kind of magical, you know. It's like there's no clear mechanism as to how this could doing any of these things could really, you know, produce the effects that you end up seeing around you, or at least there hasn't been. I feel like I've got a clear explanation now. And so a lot of these mysteries have been sort of demystified for me. But traditionally, a mystery school, you go in and you learn these things and, you know, you develop skill with them. And it has to do with tapping into something I call the magical consciousness, which is something that, you know, Aboriginal and tribal societies are very tuned into. But in the modern world, you know, we've kind of gotten so far away from that because we are sort of conditioned and taught. It's all the stuff that you were talking about before with, you know, this schooling and stuff like that. We are really not educated about this magical consciousness. And even though we all have it, I think when we're younger and we're aware, we just don't, you know, we forget how to tap into it at a certain point in our lives. And most people never come back to understanding how to be there. So anyway,
all right.
There's the music.
There is the music. When we get back, I want to dive into what is the nature of the unseen world? And we'll do that here. We are speaking with Brennan Murphy, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
We are back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. My guest again today is Brennan Murphy, and we are talking about the nature of the unseen world. So let's get into that. What is that? What are we missing when we're talking about the unseen world?
All right. So the unseen world, let's before we really dive deep into experiences and all of that, I want to get down to just some real basics here, because this is something that, you know, if I had known when I began this, it would have been a lot easier for me to engage with these mysteries, with myself. I noticed that the title of your show, Entanglement Radio, right? I was wondering if that's a reference to quantum physics or quantum mechanics. Is it?
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay. Yeah. So, you'll notice that a lot of people who do this sort of spiritual work refer to quantum physics and quantum mechanics. It's sort of like that branch of science or mathematics has gotten a little bit entangled up with spiritual, new age stuff. And there's a lot of sort of interplay between these two fields where, healers will use ideas that are explained in quantum physics and quantum mechanics to explain why these seemingly supernatural phenomena, how they work, essentially. So, I kind of was using these explanations for a long time, but the problem I was having was that they didn't really line up with the ancient Hermetic philosophy. This is sort of one of the first things that you're taught inside any mystery school in the Hermetic lineage. And what I mean by the Hermetic lineage is there's a sort of commonality in a lot of the Western mystery schools that are hermetic based around these things called the five elements: earth, water, air, fire, and spirit. And you see this in actually a lot of religious and spiritual traditions around the entire world, both Eastern and Western. But the core teaching there is that everything is made of light. And so that is, sort of the very fundamental number one statement that's made, and that you're supposed to sort of look at this, and that fundamental statement of the nature of reality, it just wasn't really, I couldn't figure out how that was working with quantum mechanics or quantum physics. So a couple of years ago, I met this guy. His name, and he lives in Taos here as well. His name is Miles Mathis. And pay attention to this name, because I believe we're on course for a really big overhaul and revolution in physics and how we perceive the world. Miles has found a way to essentially explain these phenomena that we look at, in quantum physics, a different way. He says that every particle, whether they're the protons, electrons, neutrons, any particle, they're really just photons that have gotten these different spins stacked onto them. And when they get enough spins stacked onto them, they stop moving like photons at C, the velocity of C, and they basically become kind of solidified, and they become the building blocks of matter. And, it's a really interesting theory. It lines up with the Hermetic philosophy that everything is light on some level. And so in these galactic cores and these stars, you've got these photons that are colliding with each other. And when they collide, they build up spin, and these spins stack up together. And eventually you get subatomic particles. And because of all the pressure, these particles basically get wedged together, that based on, the geometry of these spins, there are certain kind of different points in these particles that they are more likely to channel charge. And
what I mean by charge is, you know, Miles has really pulled things apart on a deep level. He went all the way back to Newton and started looking at the gravitational equations, and basically has come up with a completely alternative model of physics that doesn't need quantum mechanics at all to explain these phenomena. And so, you know, obviously any theory of physics is just a theory. Mm-hmm. It's not going to necessarily change, you know, what the reality is. But it really kind of threw me for a loop, and I was struggling with it for a while. But after reading his books, I came to really understand that, wow, you really can base it all on light. And we don't need dark matter, and we don't need superposition, and we don't need all this stuff. We can actually explain it with light, and it's simpler that way. It's definitely not accepted by the masses as, you know, Miles is, you know, there's a lot of different people have a lot of different ideas about him, and it's you know, the theory is very controversial because it goes against the mainstream physics on a lot of different levels. But one thing that it does succeed at is he's been able to diagram the atomic nucleus, and he's been able to diagram, you know, even the very complex elements, which of course, you know, now they don't do that. They say it's all a big cloud, and that you've got, you know, different potentials, right, of, you know, the particle might be here, might be here, you know, and they all occupy the same space. And so they basically look at the atomic nucleus as a, you know, just like a pool ball or a cloud, you know, it's, there's no parts and, that are taking up different positions, but he's discovered a geometry. This geometry, lines up with the hex, you know, the hexagram, you know, the six pointed star, and shows, you know, how, just all kinds of just incredible things that I, you know, just blown my mind. And, you know, I've studied a lot of sacred geometry. And so I really believe now, I've been fully converted, to his physics, because it makes perfect sense, with everything that I'm doing. And so, you know, if we go ahead and, you know, put aside our beliefs for a minute, about most, you know, even going further back than quantum mechanics, but definitely, you know, pretty far back, you know, all the way to Newton, and we say, okay, what if we assign a mass equivalence to the photon and say that it actually has mass, which they don't do, you know, in the standard physics. They say that photons don't have mass. And if you do this, then you can see that really about 94% of the universe, the energy is just light, but it's not visible spectrum light. It's light that goes all throughout the electromagnetic spectrum, and, you know, even further down. And there's different kinds of photons with different spins. Some of them are responsible for, you know, magnetism. Some are responsible for electricity. But it basically, you know, it pulls the whole thing apart, and light becomes the primary mechanism not only for the manifestation of matter, but for the channeling of energy. And so the unseen world is, you know, when you look at it from this perspective, you can see that every organism in the world is sort of like a transmitter and a receiver of photons. You know, with the nervous system and various other parts of the cell and all of that, you know, it can read these photon patterns that are constantly getting recirculated throughout the Earth in the magnetic field and, you know, in the charge field, which is, you know, it's basically the huge, you know, like just a whole bunch of photons constantly moving, and that there are patterns in these photons that reflect the environment. And so this unlocks a lot of questions of evolution that haven't been answerable. For example, the stick bug, you know, it seems really impossible. And a lot of evolutionary biologists will admit that getting to a stick bug, you know, from some, you know, basic life form would be pretty difficult, you know, and they can't explain, you know, the mechanism, for example, of how the chameleon changes color, you know, when he, you know, sits in front of something that's got a different color. And what Miles is saying, is that basically there's intelligence all the way down to the cell, and that this intelligence is able to read the photon field, the light field. And again, we're not just talking about visible light. We know that visible light makes up just a fraction of a percent of the total spectrum. Essentially, the unseen world is this massive amount of photons, and in his physics, it replaces dark matter. You don't need dark matter anymore. It's just different kinds of photons, most of which you can't see because they are outside the visible spectrum of light, and they're not solidified into these other particles. They're just flying around at the speed of C, but there are patterns inside these things that contain information. And so basically all of life is weaved together in this network of photon patterns and photon transmissions, where every life form is both a transmitter and a receiver, and the amount of information that's being communicated is just enormous, you know, all the time. It's like, you know, it's like the internet, but it's totally wireless. It's between all different forms of life. And if you're able to sort of tune in to different frequencies and get out of your rational mind, you can really get any information you want that's out there. And it breaks apart, you know, a lot of these ideas that we have about the world being what it is. And you know, we really are very connected, and we can, and, you know, once this sort of thing gets out, and people are able to understand this and use it, we're going to live in a world that really has no more secrets. And we're fast moving toward that world. I think there's a lot of people that already know this, but, you know, not that many, definitely not the majority. Most people still, it seems far out there to them. But as this new physics gains traction, which it's starting to do, we're going to start to see a real change in the way that everyone, I think, begins to look at the world. These light codes, these photons, you can do things with these. In the course of magical rituals, I mean, this is why they work. You're literally sending messages out into the whole field of consciousness, and then anyone who's tuned in on the same frequency is going to hear that message and then take appropriate actions. And so you can ask for specific things, and then people will show up with these things. And the other important thing to realize about this is it's all happening unconsciously. For the most part, most of it is unconscious. So much information, we can't be conscious of all of it, but it still works.
Well, I have a few questions. Honestly, your description is not too far out of what I thought. I always think that it's all of life is light in formation. So I have a few questions, and we'll get to those when we return here on Entangment Radio.
Excellent. Thank you.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Om Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we are in the last segment here of Integument Radio with Angela Levesque. This is where we bring it on home, and it's brought to you by HestiaHealth.com, specializing in intuitive lifestyle coaching, mind-body weight loss, and energy healing. You can find out more at HestiaHealth.com. So I loved your explanation because to me, when they talked about dark matter, it just seemed that we didn't know what that was. It's like, they're like, we know there's something and we're just going to call it dark matter, but it takes up the vast space of the universe. And then it's kind of funny that you're saying that it's all light photons. But my question was, as I'm listening to you explain this, and I thought it was just incredibly fascinating, is so from my understanding, it is our, and this goes whole, like to the wave particle duality, that sort of thing, that it is our, it's where we direct our consciousness that ultimately filters down to create matter. Now, whether that's created of light and intelligence and information, how is this light being directed? Is that a mind-based thing or does that just exist and we interact with the field? Does that make sense?
Well, it's both, really. You can consciously direct these photon patterns, with your mind. And when you're doing a magical ritual, you're doing that not only with your mind, but with your body. You know, if you just look at the geometry of your nervous system, holding your body in certain ways and doing certain motions are going to send out certain kinds of messages. You can think of it like a cosmic sign language. So this is why these rituals, involve not just speaking, but you're holding your body and moving your body in certain specific ways. And there's a very deeply embedded geometry into this world of the photons that has the four directions, the quadrants embedded into it, the atomic nucleus that when Miles diagrams it, it has this sort of, four directional, really six directions, because it's like, the cardinal directions and then up and down and, maybe seven if you count here as a direction. But yeah, it's both. It does happen through the mind, but it also happens through the body. And, that body, the understanding of what the body is really sort of changed by this, because you've got to look at the fact that all of the cells in your body are constantly transmitting and receiving these photonic messages. And your whole body's getting changed. It goes all the way down into the subcellular level, where literally enzymes, they exhibit a kind of weird intelligence. They seem to know what, genes to suppress and what genes to actually build, in the transmission from the DNA to the RNA. So there is an automatic reaction that, you can now explain things like metamorphosis a little better, like when the caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It's not like the caterpillar says, oh, I need to become a butterfly. It's that, there's an inherent knowledge deep within the caterpillar's subcellular structure where these enzymes begin to say, okay, time for, Mr. Caterpillar to turn into a butterfly, and, that it's read in the environment, that this is all done because of these photon patterns, these messages, this data that it's reading constantly from the environment. It decides at a certain point, okay, time to turn into a butterfly. Same thing happens when the chameleon, changes color. And same thing happens to us, you know, in our evolution of consciousness. And this is part of why, you know, they say you can't necessarily rush, you know, your enlightenment, that there's some level at which, you know, when you're ready to turn from a caterpillar into a butterfly, you do. And I've experienced this, and it's real. And it does make you different. You know, you don't turn into some weird looking, you know, other creature with wings suddenly. Mm-hmm. At least I haven't experienced that yet. Maybe it does happen. We'll see. but you know, it's both conscious and unconscious, and it happens on a mind level and pretty much all other levels too. Because what this basically does, this view, is it says that metaphysics, you know, really isn't metaphysical. If you break down that word, what, you know, meta in ancient Greek means beyond, and then phusis is the word for nature. And so, you know, this whole idea of something being beyond nature, well, if we define nature as reality and you know, that it's based on light and how light interacts, then it's really not beyond nature. It is nature. It's just a part of nature that we don't understand as human beings because we've gotten egoically attached to certain ideas. The primary idea being that, you know, that if we're involved with physics, we don't assign mass equivalence to the photon. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, when I look at quantum mechanics and dark matter, it's the way I'm seeing it, and Deepak Chopra agrees with me, that it's really math. It's not necessarily really physics, because we're, you know, it's a lot of stuff is being talked about that's not observable. But if we go back to the observable and we look at just light, we can really, you know, with this whole idea of light and the photon having mass, we can physically explain now all of this stuff that's totally mystified us for, you know, hundreds of years. You know, the orbital irregularities of the moon can be solved now by this. Miles does it in his papers. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like, you know, you do this, and it's kind of like the silver bullet to all these unsolved physics problems, and the issues between relativity, Newtonian physics, and then quantum physics. Those all get resolved, and you don't need all of these strange explanations. The wave particle duality, that even collapses, and he's got an explanation for that that's actually mechanical. You know, he likes to poke fun at quantum mechanics and say, this isn't mechanical. You know, we're not, you know, it's from the beginning, Niels Bohr and a lot of these other physicists say, you know, don't try to look at the mechanics of the nucleus. You can't see it. You know, there's no way to do it. And then Miles is now coming back, you know, 80, 90 years later and saying, well, you know what? Guess what? You can. And here it is. And now, you know, we can diagram every element geometrically. And so, you know, as I said, when this gets out, it's really going to be, it's a foundation shaker. You know, it changes everything about the way that we see the world, because now we see two forces. There's the gravitational force, and then there's the charge field, which is a repulsive force. Gravitational force attracts. And so if you take these two forces and you look at this, it unlocks all of these, you know, mysteries, these supposedly unsolvable physics problems that have just, you know, mystified all of us for so long that we've come to take mystical answers. You know, it's like we're explaining one kind of magic with another kind of magic with all this quantum physics and really heavy duty math. But, you know, most of these equations now, you don't even need calculus for it. Once you see the photon has mass, you can use algebra to explain a lot of these phenomena and predict them. And so it's really a very exciting time, and it's showing that we're moving towards a real integration of all the different levels of human consciousness, you know, back from primal consciousness, archaic, you know, consciousness, to magical consciousness, eventually to mythical consciousness, and then to rational consciousness, and now to you know, what we call integral consciousness. I'm kind of touching here on Claire Graves and spiral dynamics, and you know, Ken Wilber talks yes. about that you know, and everyone seems to talk about in some way or another. Drunvalo Melchizedek talks about it. We're on this sort of path of integration where we've got all of these different, you know, ways that human beings have perceived the world. And we're on the verge of really jumping into a whole new level of understanding. And you know, and some people already have begun to jump into that, and it's created this tremendous momentum now, where I think it's just a matter of time before everyone else shows up and things begin to make sense for all of us, and we're going to drop a lot of these confusing ideas that are getting all of us to argue and be in conflict, because once you understand the real power that you have in this reality, it's amazing what you can do.
Well, I have to, I think that that's a great place to stop you, because we only have about 2 minutes left. So I want to give you the opportunity to share how people can get a hold of you and anything you'd like to leave my listeners with.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a website. It's interlightmysteryschool.com. So that's spelled I-N-T-E-R, like the internet, L-I-G-H-T. I chose this name long before I knew about photons being pretty much everything. So I guess it really, from a certain perspective, the Mystery School is a lot bigger than just on my website and my group of people. It's the whole universe, you know. The whole universe is a mystery school. We're all learning all the time from it. So anyway, you can go to the website. That has a full schedule of everything that I offer. A lot of the classes take place here in Taos, New Mexico, but I do travel and do these longer retreats that last a week or more. The next one is going to be out near Sacramento, California in September, the 18th to the 26th. And so this is, you know, a full room and board retreat. We basically just shut the world off, turn off our cell phones, and get deep into exploring what the built-in technology of your own human being and what that can do that, you know, people just don't get taught in school or in college. And so that's, you know, that's the whole idea behind the Mystery School. It's really teaching you about yourself and that you're a lot more than you think you are. You can do a lot more than you think you can do.
Well,
so
I want to
go to the website.
Yeah. Yes. I want to thank you so much for being on the program. Coming up next week, we have Marie D. Jones, and we're going to be talking about the subject of her book, Mind Wars. You can find me here live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Om Times Radio Network. And if you need to get a hold of me or want to find out more about what I do, you can go to my website, hestiahealth.com. And don't forget about my contest, hashtag Entanglement Radio on Twitter, and you could win a free intuitive reading with myself. So that's wrapping it up for this week. Again, we have Marie D. Jones on next week, and this is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light.
Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.